Welcome back to the Film Experience. It's Nathaniel Murtada back again.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to New York. You've just flown in from snowy Utah.
I did, from Park City, my first ever Sundance Film Festival. It was pretty great week over there. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
So let's talk about Sundance first. There's a lot to cover today, a lot of Guild Awards and such. But do you want to tell the readers the winner, the winners?
I mean, the winner of my heart. And also, it won two awards, was The Last Black Man in San Francisco, which was a movie that I saw, like, the second day I was there. And it was a very hot ticket. And once you go in and you know it, why, everybody was, like, buzzing about it. And it won two awards. It won Best Director. And it won an award for Best Artistic Collaboration, a Special Jury Prize Award, which is such an appropriate award for this particular movie to win, because it was written by these two friends, Joe Talbot and Jimmy Fails, kind of inspired by their friendship and their love for San Francisco. And Joe Talbot directed and Jimmy Fails acts in the movie as one of the two friends. The other friend is played by Jonathan Majors. And so I think that was a great sort of award for this movie to win.
So it won director and collaboration?
It won director and artistic collaboration, okay. Yes.
Now, the winner of the whole festival was Clemency.
Yes, the Grand Jury Prize went to Clemency. Yes.
Which you reviewed.
I did, yeah. People seem to love Clemency much more than I did. I loved, like, Alfre Woodard in it, and I thought it's such a, yeah, like, she just rules the screen. And it's such a showcase for her. She's in almost every shot. It's fantastic performance. And the movie is, it's saying something really important about sort of capital punishment and the sort of just toll it takes on everybody who deals with that. Alfre Woodard plays a prison warden, and the movie sort of follows her in a few weeks between one execution and another. So the movie starts with an execution and ends with an execution. In the week that she has to manage these two executions, we get to know her, her colleagues who work with her, her husband, her friends, and sort of like the movie is about how this sort of institutional thing of killing people takes its toll on all these people who have to actually facilitate it. So it's a story that I don't think we've ever seen told from this point of view exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we've seen things like Dead Man Walking and all of that, but this is more told about the actual people who facilitate this. So it's definitely something that we've never seen before. And a beautiful performance from Alfre. I thought it needed maybe, I thought it went on a bit, but there's no denying that it's very potent just because of the subject matter and the performance that it centers. So I was happy for it to win because Chinoye Chukwu, and I'm probably like butchering that name, becomes the first black female director to win the Grand Jury Prize at Sundance. So that's like a nice thing to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of the big winners were female films this year.
Because also the Grand Jury documentary went to a movie I didn't see, One Child Nation, which is about the policy in China of having only one child per family and sort of the repercussions of it. This movie, people were also talking about it. Mm-hmm. In every line that I stood up for a movie, people will be like, did you see One Child Nation?
That's the joy of film festivals, is the discussions in line. It's like one of the only places in the world, at least now, currently, where it feels like people are willing to talk to strangers and not just sit and play on their phones, is film festival lines.
Yes.
And what were the other big winners besides the Clemency and One Child Nation?
The World Cinema Grand Jury Prize went to The Souvenir by Joanna Hogg, which also I have a review for it on the site, which is also a movie, like, I literally the first hour of it, I was so, like, just spellbound by sort of how it's filmed and how it's structured and the storytelling. I was going on, this is the best thing I will ever see at this festival. And then it just went on for another hour. So I was like,
it sucks when that happens.
Yeah. So by the end of it, I was like, I wish I had that feeling at the beginning of it. But obviously that feeling maintained for everyone, because it is, I think, the unanimous sort of critic. All the critics loved it so much. And it has at its center Tilda Swinton's daughter in her acting debut, Honor Swinton Byrne, I think is her name. And it is she plays sort of a character, I think, inspired by Joanna Hogg, the director and writer, who because the movie takes place in the 80s in London when she was in film school. And if you just look at when Joanna Hogg was born and when she went to school, you can determine that, although we don't know that for sure.
And how does she acquit herself as a leading actress? I mean, she has a lot to live up to.
She does, and she acquits herself very well, I think. I think it's such the character itself is very low-key, and the performance sort of fits that, so it's a performance that fits the character. But it is a love story, and the guy in the love story, you know, he's a drug addict, he's a much more flamboyant character, so the actor who plays him, who I've never seen before also, his name is Tom Burke. He's pretty fantastic. But just because the nature of the character, he's just more memorable in his performance.
Yeah. And what was the fourth movie to win big?
The world documentary was something called Honeyland, which I haven't seen. And then the audience award won to Britney Runs a Marathon, which is a comedy starring Julianne Bell.
Who is a very funny actress. So I'm excited that she got a showcase.
Yes. I mean, the movie that I was kind of surprised, and I thought I haven't seen Britney Runs a Marathon, so I can't say anything about it. But the movie that was people loved there and said they loved everywhere I went was The Farewell, which is Awkwafina from Lulu Wang. And that was a fantastic movie. I was there for the premiere of it. Everybody was buzzing, and I thought it would win the audience award or at least win an award from the jury. But it went home actually with no awards whatsoever, which was pretty surprising to me. It is mostly in Mandarin, and I'm like, is that why the audience didn't vote for it? You know, I can't help but think that way. But anyway, it's bought by A24, so hopefully that one will come out soon. It's pretty brilliant.
And awards in general are not the be-all and end-all, which I know we may have fooled you into thinking we believe over the years of the film experience. But they're just a nice thing to have happen to some movies. So if you don't win something, it doesn't mean you aren't brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, last year, Sorry to Bother You and Blindspotting and a lot of movies that people talked about throughout the year went awardless at Sundance.
Yeah. Yeah, Sundance has a very bumpy track record of what wins their award versus what people actually talk about once it opens in theaters.
Yeah.
And one that I don't believe you reviewed yet, or Them That Follows, did you review that?
I haven't reviewed Them That Follows, no. But I have a draft of it, so there'll be a review up. Them That Follows is a movie that sort of has amazing acting. But I don't know. The topic is about snake Pentecostal worshipers. And beyond sort of like the novelty of putting a camera on this sort of group of people that you know nothing about their rituals and their lives. And besides having Olivia Colman as Slaughter's sister, another fantastic performance, completely different than what we've seen her do, not just in The Favorite, but just in general. I don't think I've ever seen her play an American, let alone a hillbilly with a very specific regional accent, which, of course, she nails. And Alice Engold, Jane Campion's daughter, is the lead of the movie. And she plays a young woman who whose dad is the pastor of this community, and you know she has complications basically between her faith, and she's in love with someone who does not have the same faith as she does, and that's sort of the thrust of the narrative. But I thought it was just like, it's great acting, and the acting is so good because these are all like 100 and 25% characters, they're all extra evil or extra, you know, playing with snakes or, and, but the actors really bring it down and it, and they make them human and they just keep the boil level just at the right temperature. They never go up. So as I was watching it, I was just fascinated watching all these actors, but after it ended, I was like, what was that? So I don't know.
So how about the acting awards at Sundance?
They only gave one because there is no actually acting awards at Sundance, but they have sort of like they could give one.
The jury can make decisions like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they gave one acting award to Rianne Barreto, who is the lead of this movie that's called Cher, which you've seen. And it is sort of a very sensitive portrayal of a young girl in school. She's about 16 years old, and a video goes of her drunk at a party. And so the repercussions of her dealing with her reputation, with her parents, with the school administration. It's one of those movies that sort of tries to do the thing of never showing you the actual act of whatever the biggest drama is and just showing you the before and after. So it's a very elusive screenplay, and I guess the jury was impressed by that because it won the screenplay award too.
The Waldo Salt screenplay.
The Waldo Salt, yes. And Phyllis Nodges was the Oscar-nominated screenwriter of Carol, was part
of the jury this year.
Of the jury this year, yes. I was not impressed with this movie, but it is well done, and it is, again, one of those movies where the subject matter is so fascinating that, you know, you are in it. But I don't know. It's the first, it's sort of like, it's one of those things that it's the quintessential sort of Sundance movie. It's a first-time movie based on a short, and you can tell somebody's trying to do something that's different. But I don't know that it actually works.
This year, you know, this past year and this upcoming year really seems like it's about the children of movie stars. Because we had John David Washington breaking out last year. We have Tilda's daughter, her first leading role this year. We have Jane Campion's daughter still trying to break out.
Yes.
And we have and Andie MacDowell's daughter, Margaret Qualley, has like a ton of movies out.
Or she was in two movies at Sundance that I've seen.
Yeah, she has a bunch coming out.
Yeah. And she was pretty fantastic in Native Son, which I wish Jane Campion's daughter is an amazing actress, Alice Englert. She's just not in a very good movie, but she will get cast after people see this movie.
Well, she was good in that last thing she did, too, the Ginger and Rosa, I believe it was. The less said about the Beautiful Creatures, the better, I think it was called. Yeah. That supernatural teen romance thing that she So that was Sundance. So how, on a scale of 1 to 10, how was your first experience there?
I mean, it was, you know, it was my first Sundance, so it was pretty great. And when people were talking about, oh, you know, sometimes, depending on who you talk, people either love it and they because of what they see, what they saw, and they're like, this is the best festival. Or some people who haven't seen movies they like, they're like, I don't know. But I mostly saw movies that I liked. There were only a few that I didn't like that much. And but my experience was great. The first 2 days, it's so overwhelming. Especially, like, I overscheduled myself my first day, 5 movies. And I didn't realize that you have to go all over Park City to all these different theaters, and you have to know the shuttle, and, you know.
And if it's, I don't know how snowy it was, but on the days when it's very snowy, it's really hard to even see where you are.
Yes. But all in all, it was a fantastic festival. I can't wait to go back. It's so funny when there, I heard that there was this story about people who got hypothermia waiting in line trying to get into a party with Zac Efron, who had a movie there where he plays Ted Bundy that I didn't see. But well,
Abe reviewed it for the site, yeah.
But I thought I was doing the festival right when at that same night I was at a critics happy hour and I got to meet B. Ruby Rich, who is a hero in our household, you know, the editor of Film Quarterly. I'm like, you know what? I'm doing this right. I got to meet Ruby Rich instead of Zac Efron.
Abe was not a fan of that Zac Efron movie. And everything I've read about it, I'm like, I don't know about this. Not just his review, but other things.
I will mention one more movie that sold for a lot of money, and people are sort of thinking this is the movie that would get Oscar nominations, because it's The Report with Scott Z. Burns.
Mm-hmm. That's what you didn't like, that one.
I did not like it at all. Yes. It has Adam Driver and Annette Bening. And people think that it will get at least acting nominations for those two. I just thought it was very dry information dump. It is about the torture report, about what the CIA did post 9/11. And it's one of, again, it's that thing where, like, the subject matter is so interesting and incendiary, and the movie is on the right side of history and very strong in its indictment of the CIA and both the Bush and the Obama administrations. But also, it's just, like, I didn't think it was a piece of art, really. It was just, like, a TBS thing.
Who directed that one?
Scott Z. Burns, who is... It's his first film as a director, but he was a writer of several of Steven Soderbergh.
Like, movies. World War Z, too? Isn't he that?
I don't think he... I'm not sure, but he did The Informant, and he did the one with Catherine Zeta-Jones and Rooney Mara. What was that called? Side Effects.
Oh, right. He's a Soderbergh guy, yeah.
Yeah, and Soderbergh is a producer. And I mean, it...
Well, okay, so since we have to talk about the sordid topic of Oscar, and since people think these two are going to be in play, is it an ensemble thing, or is someone a lead, or it sounds like ensemble?
Adam Driver is unquestionably the lead.
Oh, okay.
Which is, like, because the story follows the character he plays as he investigates this and gathers the information. Annette Bening is supporting as Dianne Feinstein. I'm not familiar with Dianne Feinstein, but I am sure Annette Bening looked at Dianne Feinstein and that this is perfect capture of her. So, you know, if people are going to win Oscars for playing Freddie Mercury and, you know, Dick Cheney, why not Annette Bening for Dianne Feinstein?
Oh, God. Oh, I just feel so impressive that you have to play somebody famous to win an Oscar. But anyway, so, Sundance, I'm glad you had a great time. We really enjoyed reading your reviews. So, let's return to the less happy topic of the current award season, which I'm working through a piece right now that will probably be published before this podcast about how this season is trying to kill me.
What?
My paranoid delusion, because everything keeps getting worse. I mean... Bohemian Rhapsody, it's no secret how much I hate that movie. And it just keeps winning things. And now it's been deemed the best editing of the year by the American Cinema Editors Guild, which is bollocks. I'm sorry. Yeah. That movie is so obviously a Frankenstein movie. I don't know if they're awarding him for figuring out how to make something semi-cohesive out of a movie that had three directors and a horrible production. Maybe it's a sympathy thing. I don't know, but I don't see any world where you can say that's the best edited movie of the year. And yet they gave it the prize and it's up to the Oscar.
That was a depressing win, but you know, half full glass, the winner, that was the winner for drama. The winner for comedy was The Favorite, which is a movie that we like. And it won over one that I don't like. So I was happy that The Favorite one is comedy. So, you know, just look at the positive. And one thing I would say, I hear what you're saying about that this everything in this award season is going wrong. But it was nice to be away for like a week and think about a completely different set of movies, because it gives you a little break from just these movies.
Yeah.
And The Favorite also won the directors, the ADG.
The Art Directors Guild.
Art Directors Guild. So that's two guild wins for it. That's very good for this movie. Although I don't know that it had much competition in the period.
Mm-hmm.
Because its main competition at the Oscars, which is Black Panther, also won in fantasy.
Yeah. And what won contemporary?
Crazy Rich Asians.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I mean, The Favorite led the nominations, and now it won two Guild Awards. You know, it's not nominated at the WGA, so it's not going to win that. But it could win big at BAFTA. So maybe Nathaniel, the season is about to turn positively, and some movies you like are going to start winning.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even, listen, it's not even about, oh, my favorite, which happens to be The Favorite, is not winning. It's about how many things are just, not just bad, but like sort of horrifying. Like that they're Guild Awards and like things falling all over themselves to make sure we give prizes to a Bryan Singer movie, which is bananas for so many reasons.
Yeah, and not a good movie.
Yeah, not, and not just because of the allegations and all that, which, you know, I'm sorry Rami Malek is lying through those false teeth that he didn't know, because that story has been out for 20 years. But it's just like, it's one thing if you award something because like it's genius and, you know, you believe in sort of the sanctity of innocent till proven guilty and all of these things that I get from a certain standpoint why people are hesitant to cancel the cancel culture, because I also object to it sometimes. but on the other hand, it's not genius. It's not even well reviewed. So like, why are you giving us the trouble of having to cope with having to constantly talk about Bryan Singer?
Yeah, I mean,
I just don't get it.
I mean, there is something to what you said, you know, earlier about that maybe this wasn't, the editing award was for this guy who salvaged this, mm-hmm. This sort of mess. And so maybe his editors, people who are in that position or imagined themselves in that position, mm-hmm. or, you know, decided that's the one that they would award. So there is sort of a reason for that award, but you know, maybe that doesn't transfer to Oscar. That movie had no right to be nominated for anything, but you know, what are you going to do?
Right. And I mean, I feel like Rami Malek is benefiting for the same thing. Like, oh, he had a tough time, but he rescued the movie. And I'm like, it's not a good movie. So why do we have to bend ourselves into pretzels to justify why we should hand it awards? Like, yeah, so this is like just one of the things that's going wrong. And the other thing that's going wrong that is making me crazy, although I'm less upset about it because it happens all the time, is the Star Is Born problem of having this like great success that was super well reviewed, that people loved, from obviously one of the most talented people in Hollywood. And they just are refusing to give it anything other than nominations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, he even lost the DGA for best debut film. Now, I love Eighth Grade. I think it's just as good, maybe better than A Star Is Born. So it's not that I object to Bo Burnham winning at all. Like, I think especially when someone has to direct like a cast that's largely children and a movie mm-hmm. that good, you have to give the director a lot of credit. Yes. So I don't object to him winning at all. It's just the way award season is, and having followed awards like my whole entire life, I know that that type of thing doesn't win mm-hmm. unless you're purposely not wanting to award the other thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Star Is Born obviously is not connecting at all with awards bodies beyond the nominations. But, you know, that DGA First Film Award, I think it's so accomplished that maybe directors don't think it's the first movie. I mean, they didn't nominate it, but when you look at sort of like first movie, to me is something sort of, it's more of like, hey, good job, we're investing in your future. And I think Bradley Cooper's already there.
Yeah,
he's
that's
got his
true.
Future.
No, that's true. And look, like Eighth Grade is terrific. And again, I don't object to Bo Burnham having that prize because I think he got royally shafted by the writing branch in the Academy. So it's great that he won something major, and he is so obviously like somebody who we want the future to be rosy for, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not that at all. It's just in addition to like the two movies that keep cleaning up that are very divisive and that make a lot of people uncomfortable in various reasons, Green Book and Bohemian Rhapsody. And you have all these other movies that don't upset people just not getting prizes. And it's just, I'm not saying that things shouldn't, if they're divisive, that things shouldn't win prizes. Because obviously I've been on the other side where
yeah.
something I loved was divisive.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem a little weird. The season has seemed a little strange in that regard.
I mean, it is disappointing because we love the Oscars and we spend a lot of our time talking about them. And so when things are going sort of like just every, like against everything, usually there's like a sliver of hope somewhere mm-hmm. that, you know, you can sort of like grab onto, usually in Best Actress and Supporting Actress or, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, to your point, just seems just a little bit extra of the things that you don't want to happen happening. There's always something you don't want to happen that will happen.
Yeah, and that's fine. But it's just like when there's like five things, you're like, no, please stop.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And it probably wouldn't be that upsetting, and I'm sorry for being so riled up and extra, speaking of extra, but it's probably just all of these things going wrong in a, on top of the year where the Oscars keep showing us that they don't understand themselves and that they want to destroy their institutional value. By not being themselves anymore.
Yeah. It's going to be a crazy ceremony.
Yeah. And, like, this last news about them not asking the former winners to present awards
mm-hmm.
really rubbed me the wrong way. In a way that the other things I could sort of in my head see the reasoning, even though I thought they were disgusting. Like, mm-hmm. we're only going to perform two songs, which they've since changed because supposedly Lady Gaga put her foot down. Or we're going to do the...
So that's a positive.
Yeah,
you know,
that is a positive.
For Lady Gaga, yeah. And now, you know, in whatever truncated format, at least all five songs will be played.
Yeah, and the off-air stuff, which is the biggest travesty of them all, but even that, which is, like, to me, one of the most grotesque things that's ever been done, is, in terms of Oscar, I realize there are world wars and atrocities committed, but the not asking people who won last year to present because they're not famous enough, when one is a two-time winner who is famous.
Yeah, very famous.
Very
and
famous.
And beloved.
And beloved. One is a very famous, respected actor and beloved, great Gary Oldman. And one is one of the most beloved actors on the planet, Allison Janney. Like, not my favorite, but people are wildly in love with her, basically whatever she does. And have been for about 20 years.
Yeah, and she's been on TV for 20 years. She's very familiar to everyone.
Like, these are not non-famous people. So it just feels like... It feels like them just going out of their way to fuck everything up. Like, it's because it's not like they're proposing something cool and unusual. Like, we're going to have five previous winners present it, you know? The what you keep reading online is they want people like Oprah and Tom Hanks or whatever to present all the prizes because they're household names or whatever. I realize Frances mm-hmm. McDormand is maybe not as famous as Oprah Winfrey. I get that. But there is only one Oprah Winfrey. And if you have, like, however many prizes and you have to have somebody as famous as Oprah Winfrey for everyone, you're not going to, it's not going to be about the movies anymore at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not even going to be about the current movies. You'll have to get people like Angelina Jolie, who is, you know, not working recently, other than the upcoming Maleficent. Like, I just...
Yeah.
I'm so angry.
And the thing is, you can have your cake and eat it, too. Like, you can have Oprah, Angelina, and Frances. Like, there is enough prizes to give out.
Like, that's... I don't get any of it. It just seems like purposeful burn it all down.
Like, yeah, but, you know, maybe maybe this also will change, because the whole only doing two songs, that was only in the air for a few days, and now all five songs are happening and are going to be on the telecast. So maybe it will change. Who knows?
I mean, but then you're going to have, like, if they decide to do, like, let's say best score off the broadcast, okay? Then you have, I mean, they're going to have to do something off the broadcast since they announced that they're going to do that. You could have Terrence Blanchard, who has been working with Spike Lee forever, let's say he wins. You're not going to have that Spike Lee-related great historic moment on the television.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate, yes.
And if you do that, and even if, like, if it were Black Panther that won, you would still have an award for the most popular movie of the year not being broadcast.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and, you know, or Ruth E. Carter winning finally, and
yeah,
we don't get to see her.
Who's never won, and who's been a great costume designer for decades.
Yeah.
And that would be also be a historic win.
I mean, their decisions have been terrible, terrible, terrible. Yeah. But...
And the thing is, even if Ruth Carter loses, which I don't think she will, and I hope that she doesn't, if she doesn't, it'll be Sandy Powell, and who doesn't want to see Sandy Powell every time she wins? You know? She always gives, like,
acceptance
speeches that people quote or reference.
Yes. She will be so over it one more time.
I already have three of these. I'm as you can tell, I'm a little worked up.
Yes. But, you know, let's concentrate on, because there is no way to survive this. Like, when I saw that those Ace Eddie Awards, I just glammed into the fact that the favorite won one award and tried to forget about the other one, because this is the only way we can survive. So we are definitely 100%, you know, see Glenn Close finally win her Oscar. So maybe once you start getting these thoughts, go to that thought.
Oh, and they'll probably drown out her speech after 45 seconds.
Don't go there, Nathaniel. Don't go there.
I'm feeling despair. And also, it's just an existential crisis, because what I don't think people realize, when the Oscars devalue themselves, it also devalues, it won't happen right away, but it devalues cultural interest in the Oscars, which then devalues media coverage of the Oscars, which then devalues people like us and people who talk about the arts. Like, it's a chain that only will hurt things.
Yes, for sure. I mean, they have been trying to do, like, this year has just been one wrong decision after another, starting with that popular Oscar thing. And it's just been like making a bad decision and then retracting it and then thinking, you know, as if nobody would notice all their bad decisions. So it's a horrible year for the Academy. I don't know what would take it for them to actually realize what they have. And how they can turn it around. And I mean, the fact, you know, the declining ratings are not the end of the world. Every single fucking program on TV had declining ratings. So I don't know why they think that they need to have more ratings. Like, this is just not the world we live in anymore.
And not only that, but I keep reading, like, I also have to call out journalists on this, because journalists have been selling the fake news that the Oscars are irrelevant for many years now, despite increasing coverage of the Oscars by those same outlets, which is right there, tells you that it's all hypocrisy and clicks, right? So they are also continually perpetuating this problem of the Oscars not understanding that they are popular, because the Oscars are more popular, literally, mathematically, statistically, ratings-wise, than any other award show. And I keep reading these pieces and be like, look at how elegant the SAG Awards is, that they just bang, 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 they get through it, and it's all these celebrities. I'm like, nobody watches the SAG Awards. Like, they're not important. Like, they're important to the actors, but they have no cultural power.
No, I mean, no other award ceremony has as much of a cultural cachet as the Oscars, but yeah.
So when you want them to emulate people who are less successful than them, I throw up my hands.
I mean, they could learn a couple of things from other award shows that are fun. Like, they could learn a couple of things from the Golden Globe, for sure.
Sure. They could learn a couple of things from the Tonys, all of these. But all of these shows are less popular than they are. And the fixes that they keep prescribing, I keep reading on, well, that they do that at this award show, and it works fine. I'm like, but that award show is less successful. So, you know, like the whole taking the, you know, people are, I don't think people realize how devastating taking the crafts categories off the air is going to be. Because once you make a decision like that, there's no going back. Within, I guarantee you, within 5 years, they won't, none of them will be on the broadcast. And they'll just have another night for them like the Emmys do. And who have you ever heard talking about the Creative Arts Emmys? Does anybody ever talk about who wins those awards?
No.
They have no cultural power.
Yeah.
So it's like shooting yourself in the foot. End rant. Sorry, everyone.
So let's talk about the Directors Guild. So Alfonso Cuarón won, yes. As expected. Although there was a frenzy of coverage and, you know, people talking about how Spike Lee might win. So at least it made that race semi-interesting, maybe just in the corner of Twitter that I look at. I don't know if it was that for everyone or not. But I think the funniest thing that came out of that, there was a funny video online. You know how the Directors Guild does this? In the morning of the awards, they bring the five nominees together for an onstage conversation.
Yes.
And there was this moment where Spike Lee and Bradley Cooper were talking together, and Bradley Cooper was like, you know, I auditioned for you, but he kind of said it in a way that made it feel that he doesn't remember. And so Spike Lee was like, oh, you don't remember. I don't remember. Maybe it didn't happen. But then Bradley Cooper was like, no, I remember. Because, you know, when you read for Spike Lee, you remember. And so it's funny, go find that video. Then he tells that, you know, Spike was very nice to him, but also obviously wasn't interested in casting him. So he got him in and out quickly.
That's
out of
funny.
The audition.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, I, you know, it does make you think, what was he auditioning for?
I mean, he said 10 years ago. So obviously I went to IMDb and I tried to look.
Oh, maybe Inside Man?
It was 10 years ago was Miracle at St. Anna's for Spike Lee. So I don't know. Is that the movie? Well, maybe
that's
not.
Funny.
Maybe he got the time wrong.
See, it's one humiliation after another for Bradley Cooper this year. I'm kidding. Obviously, he's not going to be hurting.
No, he's not. And also, he was, like, so funny about it. And, like, he was like, I remember because I was, you know, auditioning for you, mm-hmm. legend. And,
yeah.
Of course, obviously, he wasn't a legend at that time.
Yeah, the honorary Oscar for Spike a couple years ago, I thought it was a great decision at the time, even though historically he's very young to get an honorary.
Yes.
It's definitely proved to have had sort of an impact in sort of how people regard him. Like, he was always like a legend, you know, but in terms of like, sort of fawning media appreciation it was not this way a couple years ago.
Yeah. So maybe that was a positive. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like that put us on this track that made him a sure thing, at least for a nomination for Black Klansman.
Yeah. And he, you know, he could still win the screenplay Oscar. So
yeah, I am leaning to him actually winning that. Because of this very thing, like this sort of collective interest in having Spike win something.
Yeah.
That's competitive after mistreating him for many years.
Yeah, I mean, he was so mistreated. I think he was also mistreated a little bit this season because they keep asking him about Green Book. And I haven't seen any reporter ask Peter Farrelly about what it feels to be like going up against Spike Lee. Like, come on.
Or,
if you're
like,
going
Peter
to
Farrelly,
be fair,
did you like Black Klansman?
But why ask Spike Lee about Green Book? I hear it. It's like Driving Miss Daisy. He lost to Driving Miss Daisy. I hear the comparison. But I think it's also a little disrespectful.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This season has been so weird. I'm not usually ready to move on to the next season during the season. Like,
yeah.
This early, because we still have like 3 weeks before the Oscars.
That is a lot.
And I'm not usually this anxious to just be done with it, but that's starting to be how I'm feeling.
So I think we have like a lull in awards. Like yesterday, the Annie Awards happened and all these other awards that we just talked about. It was like awards Lollapalooza last night. But we have a lull, and the next one, I think it's probably next week? Yeah, it's a week from today.
BAFTAs.
You're recording this on Sunday, is the BAFTAs.
Which is also this is an important note about the BAFTAs this year. This is also right before, because the Academy starts voting on the wins in a week as well.
Oh.
So okay. BAFTA is very timed, very beneficially potentially to people who win a BAFTA this year.
But do people actually watch the BAFTAs? Because, you know, they don't put them live on TV.
No, again, and this is another thing about, like, no, nothing's as important as the Oscars, but, like, I'm not sure people watch it, but it's still in the air industry-wise. Like, when you're a winner, you know what I'm saying? People, and they've done, there's all sorts of theories that people want to vote for people they think will win. Because psychologically, they want to be rooting for a winner, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have that problem. I'll go with the lost cause every time if I think they're deserving.
And the BAFTA has, you know, in the recent years, they usually actually don't go, at least for Best Picture, usually in acting, is the same winners everywhere. Although this year we have that thing in Supporting Actress. But otherwise, the winners are usually the same. But, you know, BAFTA went for Boyhood. When the Oscars went for Birdman, they went for La La Land. When the Oscars went for Moonlight. Mm-hmm. So... they're not, last year they went for Three Billboards when the Oscars went for The Shape of Water. So they haven't been really giving the award to the same film. So maybe, I don't know. I'm hoping The Favorite wins there because it's.
Yeah, me too. And also it's, you know, that if you really look at the guilds, like the major prizes, Screen Actors Guild, Directors Guild, Producers Guild, all that, it has been very split this year. So there's not really a way necessarily, if you're anxious to predict, this is probably why Critics' Choice is so fond of ties. If you want to predict in a volatile season, go with ties.
Yeah.
You have Green Book winning the PGA, Roma winning the DGA, what just won SAG? Oh my God, my brain.
Black Panther winning SAG.
Black Panther and, SAG.
And then the editors went to Bohemian Rhapsody and The Favorite.
Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of all over the place this year. It's just because of the historic levels of self-destructiveness from Oscar this year, I'm assuming the worst for Oscar night in terms of what wins.
Yeah. But, I mean, there is an intrigue in BAFTA in Best Supporting Actress because...
Yes.
So that's one, because actually the winner, both winners who have won so far, Emily Blunt and Regina King, are not nominated. So we'll have a new winner there. So that's exciting.
I think it's going to be Rachel Weisz.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, she won BIFA, and she's obviously, of the two supporting women of The Favorite, she's the one who's, like, people have anointed her over Emma Stone. So,
and she's also, I mean, I do think they're all leads, but if you have to divvy it up, she's also the one you could make some sort of arguments as most supporting, because she does disappear for a short chunk of the movie, unlike the other two.
Yeah. And it's a great performance. I would be so happy to see her win for it. So go
if it,
Rachel.
If it were truly a supporting performance, I would be like totally rallying around her. Because she is great in the movie.
She's so amazing. And I'm excited to see her win there. That would be, if, you know, And I'm excited to see The Favourite pick up a couple. Like, even if she doesn't win everything, I think just with the success it had at the British Independent, where I think it won like 8 or 9 awards, something ridiculous like that, basically swooped everything. So it could pick up a couple more BAFTAs than Oscars. So that makes it a little bit more exciting. And then we will see, like, you know, there might be a surprise in Best Actor, probably not, but hopefully if, like, Christian Bale wins or something, that could be also interesting.
Mm-hmm. Define interesting. No,
I mean, you know, a different winner than who has won so far.
At this point, and I never thought I would be saying this, I would be happy if Christian Bale won. Just because I really don't think Rami Malek is deserving, and it puts such a weird feeling all over this Oscar season.
Yes, for sure. And also, you know, Olivia Colman is a national treasure in the UK, so does that mean she will automatically win the BAFTA for Best Actress? And will, you know, which it doesn't matter for Glenn, because Glenn will win the Oscar no matter who wins the BAFTA. But also, like, there are things, I hope some of these things happen, because if we just get the stamp of everything that eventually will win the Oscar, it will be not that interesting. But hopefully a few of these things happen that would make BAFTA more interesting than they have been for a few years.
Yeah. You know what would make them really interesting? If they actually aired live and didn't do the stupid edit reel for everyone.
I don't know why they do that. Like, it's so ridiculous. In this day and age, everybody knows the winners. And once you know the winner, who's just going to sit there and be like, oh, yeah, I'm watching 2 hours of this and I already know, like, who won. Nobody's going to do that.
Yeah, it is one of the weirdest things ever. But anyway. Yeah. This season, I throw up my hands, people. I throw up my hands. If we have to deal with, like, worst case scenario for winners on Oscar night, you know, there have been years before we had very unfortunate outcomes. We will survive. What I'm worried about surviving is massive, like, existential changes to what the Oscars actually are. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Because in the world I exist in, people know who Frances McDormand is, and they like her and want to see her at award shows.
She's a meme. I don't understand. The Academy knows nothing. She's such a meme. Everybody loves her. And, like, the all her reactions become, like, popular memes
that are
shared. And this
is before she had... It's before... Even before Three Billboards, it was this way.
Yeah. Yes. Like, she's a... I think... Maybe that's just a stupid rumor. Let's hope so.
Reportedly, their camps are saying they were not contacted.
That's just crazy. Also, Frances McDormand has not made one appearance in any awards since she won the Oscar, so... If you want somebody, you know how they had that thing where they were like, we only want people who didn't go to the other awards show.
Right.
Well, there you have it.
And guarantee she will do something that people will be talking about all over the internet, and you want to be a popular show.
Yeah.
It's like that whole thing when they announced they weren't going to do all the songs, when they had people like Jennifer Hudson. Right there. Who is very famous.
An Oscar winner.
And they say they need it to be famous people that everybody knows. I'm like, there's one right for you, and you were denying her at first until Lady Gaga put her foot down.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. If you objected to me screaming into the microphone this whole podcast, I apologize. I will try to be back to normal next week.
So
Hurtado's in a much better mood than me because he just had a very first-time adventure in Sundance.
I did. It was great. And that's why I'm like, sane about all these things, because I have other movies to talk about.
Let's jump back to Sundance to end for a second. So all the buzz with Clemency winning and, you know, people are like, oh, the acting's amazing and all that, which you also agreed with. But I have to say, when I was reading your review, I thought to myself, oh, no, based on what you were saying, I was like, this is going to be the type of performance that everybody loves, but the movie's not going to be juicy enough or successful enough or well-reviewed enough for Al Free to actually be in the conversation despite giving a great performance. So do you feel differently?
I mean, seen the reaction? One thing I'll say that the movie's better reviewed than I reviewed it so far. So there's that. She is pretty fantastic, but it's not the easiest sit. It's a movie about people getting executed. So it's not the easiest sit.
So maybe like a first reformed situation.
It's going to be something, I mean, that would be like the best scenario for it. That with maybe Al Frey, because she is a respected actress with long history and people love her. So maybe she'll actually get nominated. But also it's a movie that has not yet, of all these deals, you know, crickets about this movie. It has not sold yet. So, yeah, I would not like, start writing, Alfred Woodard as a shoe-in for best actor yet. The movie has to get distribution and get seen. And I don't know, because there is another sort of hard movie, which was Native Son, which came to the festival. Fantastic movie, by the way. Subject matter, much tougher than Clemency. And, you know, if you've read the Richard Wright novel, you know what I'm talking about. I don't want to give it in this podcast. But anyway, that movie, fantastic movie, really well, you know, well-crafted, amazing debut for Rashid Johnson, who's a first-time filmmaker, but he is a visual artist. But that movie sort of came to the festival from A24, and then in the first day of the festival, they sold it to HBO. So, and last year we had The Tale with Laura Dern, also a great performance. Yeah. And that also went to HBO. So I would not be surprised if Clemency goes to HBO or I don't know. But if Amazon, they bought everything at Sundance, Amazon, just buy one more. Like, just buy it. And, you know.
Well, and Alfrey already has Emmys, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So get Alfrey her Oscar nomination. You spent like $50 million already at Sundance. Spend five more and get Alfrey her Oscar.
Yeah, I remember The Tale situation. Everybody's like, oh, Oscar nominations, and then it went to TV. And it didn't even, it hasn't been like a huge powerhouse with TV awards. It gets nominations, but it doesn't seem to be like
it's a
power.
Subject matter, again. Yeah. I think this is why, like, Native Son, it went to HBO. Clemency is not as tough a subject as The Tale or Native Son. Like, it's still, like, it is mostly about this woman. Mm-hmm. So there is a way for it if it finds the right distributor who will do for it what Sony Classics did to The Wife, for instance. Mm-hmm. You have to nurture it. You have to do the right thing. So there is a path for it to find its audience if you do the right things with it. Because once you see it, the performance at the center of it, it's so spectacular. Mm-hmm. It is so amazing that you are like, if you see it, you're going to love Alfie in it. So there is no way, but it just needs to like get the right sort of nurture to get seen. Mm-hmm.
You know, that also with your review talking about the pacing and the repetitive nature of it, which makes it even a little tougher because the subject's already tough.
Yeah.
Actually reminded me of, this is such a horrible thing, and I apologize for bringing it up. It reminded me a little bit of back in the days of Harvey Weinstein ruling the Oscars, how he would regularly pick up things at festivals, but part of the distribution was that they would be to have to sacrifice Final Cut.
And
so he got that. I don't know how many people remember this, but he was actually nicknamed Harvey Scissorhands.
Yeah.
Because of all the editing for a lot of these famous movies that went on to become like Oscar sensations.
Yeah.
And you know, yes, he's horrible. We're glad he's gone, but that sort of ruthlessness about knowing that some movies could be better than they actually are is really, you really do need strong producers in that way.
Yeah.
That are willing to have the hard decisions or have the hard conversations with directors to say, you know what, this movie's great, but even better if it was 5 minutes shorter because of this, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like there's not a lot of people who do that anymore.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know. Yeah. I mean, it does need just it doesn't even need to trim that much. I mean, that's just my opinion. It needs just a little bit.
Yeah.
But Alfrey is undeniable. Like, even if it's released just like it is, she just needs to be released. Needs to be seen, obviously.
Well, if HBO picks it up, at least she'll get another Emmy nomination in her crown of them.
Yeah. But it's so fantastic to see her, like, you know, at the center of the story.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen her at the center of a movie since, like, Down in the Delta. Or, Crooklyn and Down in the Delta. But those were in the 90s.
Yeah, it's been a while, yes.
Yeah. So, very exciting to hear that she has a leading role.
Yeah. It's so funny, like, I saw Alfre Woodard, and when I was looking at my movies at Sundance, before, and just choosing which movies to put on my schedule, that was the first one I chose. I was like, put it in. I'm going to the first ever screening.
Hey, sometimes you have to do those. You have to make those calls. I mean, Sundance, any of the American-centric festivals, like Sundance and Tribeca, that's always a little risky because they tend to snatch up anything with a star in it.
Yeah.
And sometimes the movies are really bad, and that's why they don't have a distributor. But sometimes it pays off, as it clearly did here.
Yeah, this one paid off, yes. It's so funny.
All right, well, that's all the time we have this time, but we worked through a lot. We didn't mention the Annies, really, but congratulations to Into the Spider-Verse, which did really well there.
Uh-huh. That's a positive.
Yes.
It's a good movie that we like.
It is a good movie. Yeah. It is a good movie.
But animation always has a good movie winning most years. Like, it's...
Yeah. from the clips I've seen of the movie that won Best Animated Short at Annie's, which is also for the Oscar, called Weekends, it looks really like a strong movie as well. Just from the little clips I've seen.
Mm.
I have started watching the short, so I shall hold off on my opinion until I watch all of them. But that one looks very, very promising.
Yeah. So I guess we'll talk next week, maybe after the BAFTA, so we can have more things to talk about.
We should probably talk about new movies. I feel like this time of year, though, it's like I just really don't want to sit through Miss Bela.
I haven't even seen anything new. I mean, I have seen all these movies at Sundance, but I haven't seen anything that's released. Yeah. I guess Everybody Knows is coming out. Is it next weekend? Maybe.
That's possibly next weekend. The new Oscar for Hadi. The Miss Bela, for those of you who haven't seen the Mexican original, I do suggest you find that. It's very, very formally really interesting movie. But when I saw the trailer for the American version, I was like, oh God, because at the end of the trailer, they have that line, in the end, a bullet, solves everything. And I was like, oh, this is not the message the world needs right now. Oh my God. Yeah. It looks rough from the trailer.
And apparently nobody went to see it. Because it didn't really do that much at the box office, so.
Yeah.
But but hopefully we'll get some more movies, some new movies. Or if you have topics, listeners, that you want us to talk about, let us know.
Yeah, that was really fun when we did all reader questions a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
All right, thanks for listening.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.